Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today with another installment of our industry review series. Today, we are going to be tackling nonprofits, which I know there's lots to be said about them. So, Sean, if you want to just kick us off and talk about some of the main pain points that you've seen nonprofits dealing with this year, 2023.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I'd be remiss if when we talk about nonprofits, if we don't first start with a conversation of which kind of nonprofit, yep. Right? We've talked about this before. I think we've had this conversation where of all of the industries that we work with, nonprofit is by far the most diverse.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's all over the place. You never know.
You know, you're going to get literally. And even after we do a scope and we talk to them three times and we put together a statement of work and then we go and we're like, okay, so what do you guys really do? Whoa, what is that? Like, you know, you make portable toilets in Madagascar. What? Where did that come from? We've seen it all, literally. And and that's what's so cool and so interesting, I think, for a lot of people that are in the nonprofit industry. But I think that's the first thing I would say is, you know, the difference between a health and human services or a community foundation or there's so many different kinds of nonprofits that you sort of have to go into the conversation with an understanding of who we're talking to, right? So I think for 2023, right?
2023.
I do think that we're seeing probably an uptick in the number of nonprofits that are willing to invest in software. You've covered a lot of the acquisitions that Blackbaud and other firms have made in the nonprofit industry in the ERP Minute, which is great. And so you see a lot of little things, you know, kind of crowdsourced software or funding software, you know, donation software that sort of sits on the website. You see these little pieces out here, right? But there is sort of a bigger platform that most of these nonprofits run on. And that's what I'm saying. I think they are willing to make a change to maybe a little bit more modern of a platform. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the move to cloud that's been happening for years. I think I even maybe mention this on another call that we had that actually I don't think I ever have. It's amazing how all these new things come out even after we do this over and over.
Yes.
But the way this is kind of an anecdotal story. It's funny. In 2006, 2005, I knew that the cloud for ERP was real when I had a nonprofit client here in Denver, actually, a very, very, very conservative nonprofit. It was actually a nonprofit bank. And the CFO who had been there for 30 years, who was looking at thinking of retiring, right, said, all right, so there's one thing we need to talk about with this software. You know, it's about the architecture. He didn't use that phrase, but or the deployment. And there's something that I need you to know. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. This is the on-premise, you know. And he says, I will only get a cloud-based solution. Wow. And I was like, whoa. I had to be cool, right? You know, consultants have to
ahead
be cool.
Ahead of his time.
He was ahead of his time. He really was. But he just said, you know, the risks that we have with having our software in the office here keep me up at night.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this guy, he knows what's going on, right? And so nonprofits, they traditionally are, again, aren't on the bleeding edge. We talked about that with another industry today. But they're kind of having to be.
Right.
There's trends I'm sure we're going to talk about on this like donations, you're mentioning this, like a lot more subscription-based donations, repeat donations, people sign up and there's a monthly give. But, you know, you really want to make it easy to be able to text a number to your nonprofit and here's, you know, I want to donate this amount, bam, boom, bam, and it's done, right? So I think all the nonprofit industry is really sort of the watermark is rising for the amount of technology that they're required to use. Yeah. But again, with this diversity of what we saw in 2023 with different types of nonprofits, there was, I think, a move, again, continuing to go to the cloud, continuing to get the financial statements and the back end system sort of into a more modern platform, definitely on the donor management side, integrating with not just things like MailChimp, but, you know, more marketing automation kind of tools. And I also think another big trend that we saw in 2023, yeah, this is why I love these calls. I don't even think about this stuff when I'm preparing, but it's really cool is that I think in our clients, we saw a migration of a lot of people from the public sector, from corporate, private, whatever, moving into the nonprofit industry. And so when they come in, they want the software that they used at their $100 million, you know, business or even bigger, or they were at Fortune 500 or whatever. Like I can't run this organization without, you know, more industrial strength software. We were at a client last week where that was the case where their ED basically said, like, we got to get rid of all this stuff. Now just go make it work. Right. Like, whoa, okay. That's a lot. There's a lot there. But if she wasn't mandating the change, the organization wouldn't have hired us to even look at this.
Yeah.
So you, again, the last piece I'll say for 2023 though, is that, so you have, you know, you have new leaders and more, maybe a little more willingness and just mandatory like expectations about the technology that they want to use to run these organizations, plus the cloud for sure. But then probably this last factor that I can think of is there's a lot of software that's out there that is legacy. That's most of our industry calls have this in here, right? If the investment bankers and the private equity people out there are listening, you know, and they know that. That's why a lot of software companies are getting bought right now. But there's a lot of opportunity for upgrades.
Yeah.
A lot. And I think the nonprofit world is sort of shifting the view of every dollar that goes into technology is $1 less for our mission.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to see every dollar we put into technology gets us $2, $5, $10 on the mission if we do it right. And I've seen those ROI models and they're true.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I was just about to say. It can be hard to justify when you're like, those companies, all the ones we work with just have big hearts and towards the mission. And they want to make sure that they succeed and can actually do good things for the markets that they're in. And it can be difficult to justify an investment like that. But like you just, as you just said, as technology advances, AI, different solutions, in addition to just like that core ERP that people are implementing, it's allowing them to do even more than I think most of them would have expected. So that being said, what do you think the greatest challenges that nonprofit companies should look out for in 2024?
There are a couple gorillas in the market in the ERP space for nonprofits.
Yeah.
And it's so easy when there is a technology shift and you want to go to cloud or AI or some of these other things that are come out to just go to your vendor and say, what's your latest version? Okay, I'll take it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's dangerous in the nonprofit space. I'm just going to say it. That's why you can tell I'm kind of hesitating. Ugh. I think you got to do your research. I think you have to look at what other solutions are out there. Fortunately or unfortunately, there's also a lot of best of breed solutions. So we were, again, talking to a client recently and they said, oh, yeah, we just want one platform to do development, grants, and basically sort of financials with purchasing, et cetera, et cetera. And I just said, no, you don't want that. Like, it's not going to work for you. You have pretty advanced requirements in the donor management area and development. And the pure financials that you also have high demands for, you know, those are two different apps. They're solving two different problems. Okay, well, as long as they integrate, sure. So I think in 2024, the challenge for the nonprofit sponsor of a new ERP project just gets higher and higher and bigger and bigger and bigger and harder because there are a lot of solutions in the market. A lot of the incumbents who've been around, they're trying to keep up, but they're not. So then that forces a change. And then you have to go do the research and see what's out there. And you're not going to find a lot of all-in-one solutions in this industry. They're just not there. And the ones that are, like I said, sort of the incumbents are, they're not really even all-in-one. Their stuff doesn't talk, you know, we'll just use that phrase. Yeah. It's hard for me to say that. They don't integrate together, right? So it's just, I think it's going to be challenging to sort of, again, tie to here's what we really need. Here's the business benefit. Here's how it's going to help the mission. Then say, okay, let's go look at the software. Now let's look at the right solutions and understand what's the difference between Salesforce and Bloomerang for donor management, right? Yeah. And it's real easy to just say, oh, these other organizations do this, so we'll just do that, right? Yeah. And most of the software solutions, I think most nonprofits know this, they do offer like nonprofit discounts are pretty significant. Mm-hmm. So you definitely take advantage of those, but that's not the only reason why you should take advantage of them. Yeah. So those solutions are pretty complex too. You know, Salesforce implementations are not easy. Actually, Natalie, who works for this, her dad works for a nonprofit. They were implementing Salesforce a couple years ago, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's just tough. Yeah. So the challenge is really, again, focusing on what you really need. Where's the business benefit going to be? And I mean business. I mean ROI, like we're going to be able to, you know, service 10,000 more people over the next 5 years if we do this technology solution, right? Yeah. So getting that quantified is important. And then really differentiating the solutions in the market so you can tie again back to what you need to what they can actually do. It's going to be tricky. There's a lot of good solutions, but that also makes more confusion.
Yeah. And I will say, like watching the news, seeing what the vendors are doing, many more vendors are focusing on their integration platforms and just their platforms in general. So that the technology can communicate, but it's not necessarily going to be something that, you know, 2024 it's solved. Now I can do that with whatever application I'm on, or now we're all talking to each other, but it is something to look out for and be hopeful for these companies. For those of you tackling it in 2024 though, definitely don't think too much about the integrations. You need to look at these other platforms, but in the future, mm-hmm. I'm hopeful for that.
I think you're right. Yeah, so, yeah.
And then that being said, what are some of the new tools that vendors have really been creating or working towards that nonprofit businesses will be able to utilize in 2024?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you were saying that even some of the acquisitions that like a Blackbaud are making, where they're making it easier for even volunteer management or crowdfunding, crowdsourcing, fundraising tools that just sort of line up to your website and align with a payment processor and poof, magic happens, money shows up in your bank kind of stuff. I do think the monthly subscriptions, those are tools, right? Those are payment tools that cable companies and whoever those guys are now, do you even have cable?
Like TV? I personally don't.
Right.
Yeah. No, mine's all streaming services.
Definitely not, right? So. Yeah, I think we kept it because there was something that was only available on whatever, right? So, you know, so all I'm trying to say is that there's still a lot of change. And so the nonprofits have to keep in mind even budgeting. You know, that's a pretty big deal where I can think of three or four of our nonprofit clients in the last several years, we've done specifically FP&A budgeting selections for them, tool selections, because you've got people, Denver Rescue Mission is a great example here in Denver, great organization. And they're out there working with all kinds of people at different stages in terms of from, you know, being really desolate, like done all the way through to being completely recovered and, you know, willing to go in and do whatever they want to do and create a life for themselves. It's beautiful. How can those program and services people do their job if they don't know how much money they have to spend?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can get an email, you know, or an Excel report once a month or whatever, but by then it might be too late. So getting visibility into actuals versus budget is going to be, I think, really continue to be a bigger thing going into 2024. Maybe it's always been that way, frankly, now that I think about it. But that's been a very easy change to make for a lot of our clients because the FP&A, corporate performance management, enterprise performance management, whatever you want to call it, software is moving down in terms of cost.
Yeah.
So that's a simple thing to think through too, along with the funding, along with actually when I think about this, being again at one of our nonprofits last week, I was shocked at the amount of software that they had.
Really?
I mean, big time. It's a $50 million organization. So it's good size, you know, for a nonprofit. And if I think about our other $50 million organizations or for-profit, this nonprofit probably had four times more software.
Wow.
Because it's a very, very diverse, they offer very diverse services around human services. And each of those services has an app for that. There's an app for that. Mm. There's an app for the school. There's an app for the development. There's an app for the drug disbursement. There's an app for scheduling people. There's an app, an app, an app, an app, an app. Boom. You know, your head just kind of blows after a while. Like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to kind of figure out where's the opportunity to rationalize these applications, mm-hmm. reduce what we can. But a lot of it, you just can't. There's some specific software they have for billing for Medicaid services. Oh, yeah, there's like two apps that do that for the particular state that they're in. Actually, there was only one. There was only one app that handles the specific stuff that they need. So they got to use it. So it's. I really think the challenge is, especially because I think a lot of the personnel in a nonprofit are pretty savvy. And they want to automate where they can because they're wicked super busy. Like last week, they're like, okay, so we could either create these reports and do all these analytics and everything. But sometimes the people in our group have to go to the hospital because certain things happen. And I'm like, oh, well, how frequently? Well, once a week. Well, who takes them? Well, you know, I do. This is like the executive director or the leads because everybody else is busy doing, they have to care for the rest of the people.
Who's available?
Who's available, right? So that's why it's so easy to go to the market, get a simple app, especially if they're less expensive. But then how do you do the integrations? You know, how do you keep a track of your enterprise data when it's spread all about? You know, that's really, really hard. Again, the benefit of having best of breed solutions is the automation that you get at the business process level or at the detailed process level, but you still have to pull it together.
Yeah.
So I do think a trend here. Come to think of it, actually, I have to add that before you ask the next question is, if I were a little earlier in my career and I liked development, what I would do is I would become an expert Power BI person.
Wow. Yeah.
I really would.
That's funny.
Here's a little nugget. Whoever's listening to this call this long, as usual, here's the nuggets. Somebody that I know did a project with a wide swath. How should I say this? There's an organization that we actually help out with a little bit where we go to guest calls and you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
And what they do is they can do surveys of like thousands and thousands of people very quickly because they've got really close communication lines with a lot of experts in a lot of different businesses. And they did sort of an informal survey of power, sort of automation, business process automation, RPA, robotic process automation, kind of tools, like even not really AI, maybe a little machine language stuff, but like that kind of software. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so they send this out and say, who do you use the most of? Whoop, the answers came back and 90% said,
Power BI.
Microsoft.
Power BI. Yep.
And the Power Automate. That's exactly right.
That's so funny.
Power BI, because analytics was a part of it. And they got it already.
Yeah.
So now people are actually using it. It's part of Office 365. And so I do think there will be more analytics, reporting, KPI, and even more like, you know, getting into AI functionality that can sit on these reporting and analytics tools. And I really mean that because you're consolidating this information together. So that's why I say if I probably wouldn't have done that anyway. I tried to do like development. I'm not a developer, but I had to develop in COBOL, which I mean, that's like, anyway, there's a whole slew of other languages. Yes. I was at Target getting gifts for these. We adopted seven families for Christmas. It was crazy. Oh. I never should have done, but we did it and it was okay. But I was at Target checking stuff out and the guy says, oh, is this all for your grandkids?
And you're like, thank you.
I was like, I'm not that old, but maybe I am because I don't have grandkids. But, you know, I've developed in COBOL, Fortran, all this other stuff. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is again, Power BI and that, the Power Automate platform, it's available. It's pretty straightforward. I think we're going to see a lot more innovative solutions around that for nonprofit. Whew. That was a long way to get there, wasn't it?
No, but I get what you're saying. It definitely made sense.
Good.
So, and then just kind of to wrap this up, because I think we've touched on pretty much everything, all the important stuff. What are the major ERP reminders for nonprofit companies before jumpstarting the new year?
I think that you should lower your expectations. I hate to say that, but out of the same side of my mouth, I say, but expect a lot of real business benefit. Mm-hmm. It is definitely there. The benefit is there to be had with ERP, with other enterprise solutions, but you just have to be super, super cognizant of what you're really getting into. Yeah. I can't say that enough because your space in nonprofit is so complex because your models, your business processes vary from, if you think about, you know, just some of the larger ones in the United States, even of United Way to Girl Scouts to Delta, 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 right? We talked to them at one point, or some fraternities, sororities or nonprofits mm-hmm. to non-government organizations. RMI is a client of ours, right? Doing a lot of energy research projects throughout the world. Everybody's so different. Yeah. So you really have to focus on your functional needs. Of course, there's always financials, there's restricted funds and those kinds of things that nonprofits need for sure. But then, you know, you look at donor management, that's a little bit different by these different segments. You look at grants management. Well, wait, grants management, is that grants in or grants out? Mm. Well, do we get grants or do we give grants or do we do both?
Yeah, we might, right? Do both.
We've had that. Foundations have their own set of requirements that they have to do with the financial reporting, donor advised funds, and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of solutions out there. I think there's a lot of software that is written for that micro vertical portion of what you do for sure. But you also have to make sure of viability and long-term capability when you do go to a vendor. Don't just go get the software because you're at a conference and your colleague said, this is what I used and it worked. You actually do have to dig down and look at some of those factors because your colleague, their organization may do a little bit of what you do, but you do something totally different. Yeah. So please really look at that. I mean, you can always call us for mm-hmm. real. And we'd love even just advising nonprofits, just pro bono, right? If it's a big project, we're going to bill you for it because there's a lot of work. But if there's just a little bit of like this or that, please give us a call because we just don't want you to go down the wrong path and make the mm-hmm. wrong decision.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much, Sean. This was informative as always. And I hope everybody else got as much out of it as I feel like I did.
Good. For real?
Yeah, for real. I'm being honest. Yeah.
Please be. I'm serious. Because
you know,
need
I'm
to
always
get more,
honest with
I,
you.
If we need to dig in more, I want the value to be there.
Yeah, definitely.
I really do appreciate everybody joining these and you guys putting these together because it's, God, I really do sound like some old guy. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I am. No, but there's so many things we see and there's so many mistakes that people make and then they call us later. And one more anecdote that I think is interesting. We had a nonprofit call us recently who said, oh my gosh, our software vendor, they changed our contract and they want to charge us $50,000 more for the same contract or even $100,000 more. And we don't know what to do. And, you know, I don't think they were on the wrong platform. So we ask, oh, is it working? You know, is it doing? Oh, yeah, it's great. Oh, okay. Well, has it really benefited your organization? Well, yeah, we probably saved a couple of headcount because of it.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, well, then, you know, go negotiate. But you're not going to be able to change. That's happening a lot right now where the software vendors are increasing their pricing. And I think a lot of our nonprofits feel hostage to that. And I would just say, I mean, you kind of are, but also it's a negotiation. It's just like if you're in a building and you want to, your lease is up, they're probably going to increase it. Maybe not, depending on where you are throughout the country. I don't know right now, but usually they do. So, but there's value in that. There's value in your software. It has saved money. You have been able to generate more services. You have been able to bring in more revenue, hopefully. And so you might pay more, but no, I'm not saying that because everybody's doing it, that's okay. I'm just saying it's going to happen, but just go in with a negotiation. And the sooner you can say, look, if you do this amount by this date, I will sign.
Yeah.
And we're done. And they'll probably say, okay, because the software companies are not in the same level, the same position of leverage that they used to be.
Yeah.
They're just not. There is room for negotiation. That's the last piece I'll put out there because we continue to hear that over and over.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
No, that's even more value. You always bring things to this. And it gives me an opportunity in marketing because I'm not working directly with the nonprofits, but it gives me an opportunity to make sure I'm giving back to these communities and they're aware of things. But yeah, thank you so much again for joining us. This has been a great series. We definitely plan on covering more industries. So if you did not see your industry and you're really dying for us to go into it, please reach out to us and let us know. But again, thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see you again soon.